This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell time, Mike, with the, I think, maybe it's kind of unofficial, but the announcement that John Harbaugh is going to be the next coach for the New York Giants. Buy or sell, Harbaugh will have the Giants in the playoffs in less than two seasons.
Sell.
You don't believe in Harbaugh as a coach, or you just think, they do have the fifth overall pick. They kind of like their quarterback, maybe. Maybe they like Jackson Dart. Maybe he likes Jackson Dart.
I think it will take 3 to 4 years for them to get to the playoffs. I don't think he'll be able to bring the Baltimore Ravens magic there. I think the Giants organization is a dumpster fire.
Now, Sean Payton got the Broncos into the playoffs. I guess it did take him three seasons. He didn't do it his first year with Russ and didn't... Wait, was it two? Yeah, he only had the Russ thing 1 year. So it only took him 2 years to get it done. You don't think Harbaugh can do the same thing that Sean Payton's done? Because, yeah, this is Sean's third year with Denver.
Yeah, I don't have faith in the Maras.
Yeah. Fair point. Doesn't have the resources that maybe... I mean, they gave Sean Payton the keys, man. They gave him the keys. They said, you don't like Russ? Give it a shot, but then get rid of him if you want. You want to go with Bo Nix? Go with Bo Nix. We're going to spend some money? Let's spend some money. Figure it out. Yeah, maybe not, but we'll see. The Giants are fifth. They have a fifth round or fifth pick overall. They have a lot of needs, a lot on the defensive side. So, yeah, we'll see. Buy or sell, the Denver Nuggets make a significant trade or just make a move before the trade deadline, February 5th. Zeke Nagy's the name, the obvious one. We talked a lot about other guys. I don't know if Jalen Pickett, I don't know. There's going to be, because again, once this roster is whole, Jalen Pickett's minutes are going to go way down. Zeke Nagy's minutes might be non-existent, I don't know. Especially when we get to the playoffs. He's improved his trade stock, no question. Is he enough? Has he done enough for a team to say, yeah, we'll take a chance on that guy that we really haven't seen much of and pay him $8 million this year, and assuming he picks up his player option next year?
How much cap hit does he take of the Nuggets?
His salary is 7.4. Well, it's 8.1 this year. And 7.4, I don't have the exact, on what the actual cap hit is, but in the NBA, it's a little more straightforward than the NFL's. So it's as simple, even though the NBA is extremely complicated, but in this case, it is as simple as just removing those dollars and then freeing something up. I'm gonna buy that the Nuggets do trade Zeke Nagy. I think they find a way, because they found a way to trade MPJ. I know, MPJ, much different player. But Adelman has showcased Zeke Nagy, and I think he's 25, still relatively young. He would be a nice option at the power forward position for a team that's weak in that area. Let's be fair. If I'm negotiating a trade for Zeke and I'm building him up, I'm saying he dealt with a veteran-minded coach that was not going to give Zeke Nagy much play. In those negotiations, I'm sure there's a little bit of a, hey, the last coach didn't really appreciate what Zeke brought to the table, so he never got a real shot in a brief sample size that we've seen with David Adelman as head coach. Look what he's done. He went from averaging 2 points per game to 10 and was a significant part in us keeping our season afloat while the world's best player gets healthy. So that's a selling point.
On the off chance that chaos happens and the Nuggets trade Jokic to...
Oh, my God.
No, I'm just saying. The off chance that something stupid happens and they trade Jokic.
Oh, my gosh. No, why? What are you doing?
The off chance.
There is negative 30 million percent chance that the Nuggets trade Nikola Jokic. Zero, Mike. And I cannot stress that enough.
I'm rooting for chaos.
He is untouchable. If you root for Joker to be traded again, I will fire you for real. For fakes, but for real.
I don't think
that's
it's going to happen.
That's the stupidest thing you've... Of course, it's not going... The fact that you even brought
really
it up...
Dumb.
The fact you even say it is the stupidest thing you've ever done. Like, the dumbest thing.
Well, I was on the off chance.
There's
it
no
was
off
a
chance.
Hypothetical.
There's no hypothetical. It's so absolutely crazy that there is literally no hypothetical. There's no imaginary game here that they would trade him.
So...
Unless,
would you say,
I'll give you this, they get intel that he's not re-signing in the offseason. That's it.
Okay. On the off chance that they trade him because they find this intel.
They don't. They won't.
How would you feel about that? Them trading him to the Lakers?
Burn it all to the ground. That's how I would feel. I'd get over it. But it would take a while. No. There is 0% chance... Joker has already said he's going to sign his contract extension, but it was a difference of $80 million. If he signed it last year, he misses out on $80 million. So if he signs it this offseason, when the CBA goes up, he's going to be able to make more. And he's already said he has no intention of leaving Denver. He would like to retire there. So take him at his word, then yeah, 0% chance. Although, as mad as I got at you, that is the one thing that flashed in my brain. If somehow, some way, something's changed. But it's not going to change. Joker is wanting to win championships. This team, as it's constructed today, gives him that best shot.
I don't think it's going to happen either.
No, it's not going to happen. And you need to go wash your mouth out with soap. Go wash it out.
I can wash it out with Mountain Dew.
No, I want you to go into the bathroom, and I want you to pump the little soap dispenser, put it into your little hands, and I want you to put it in your mouth and wash it out. That's what you will do during the commercial break. And I will follow you down to the restroom. I will not go in with you. You're a big boy. But I will expect that you've done this. Because what you just said was worse than any curse word that has ever been said. And I'm not mad. I'm just very disappointed in you.
Like I've insulted your family. You are so bothered by that hypothetical.
He is the okay. Would the Avs trade Nathan MacKinnon?
I don't foresee that happening.
Never.
But there's always a chance.
No. Those two players, and maybe Cale Makar, Tanner, those three players are the most untouchable players I've ever talked about in Colorado sports. Because back with Dan Reeves and John Elway, there was talk of John Elway being moved. Remember? They drafted Tommy Maddox. And Dan Reeves and John did not get along. So there was realistic talk there. Name a Colorado player that is more untradeable than Nikola Jokic, Nathan MacKinnon, and Cale Makar. Name a Colorado player. Sports history. There isn't one, because John Elway would be the only one, but there were legitimate conversations happening when I was a young lad, but those were real, that maybe the Broncos and Elway don't coexist.
Keep in mind that they fired a coach for that.
Yes,
hypothetical.
They did. Yeah.
So
it didn't
was
happen.
Was he tradable, or
the only
was
reason,
the coach?
The only reason he was tradable was because you didn't get along with your coach, and then the organization chose Elway over him.
I don't know if I'd consider that tradable.
Closer than the three other guys I just mentioned. Those three guys are untouchable. Unless they give you reason to believe that whenever their contract comes up they're going to leave, and you need to get something from it.
Yeah, you walk into their hotel room and find them with Tony Montana.
What?
Pile of cocaine. You know, that movie from the 80s.
What movie?
I can't remember what it's called. But he had like a, he was just snorting coke and shooting guns and stuff.
Is it a sports movie?
No, it's not.
What are you talking about? Tony Montana? What is that?
He was like a drug dealer.
In real life? This was a movie made about a real situation?
No, I don't know if it was made about. It could have been inspired by
Tony Montana?
Drug dealers.
Are you thinking of Scarface?
Yeah, Scarface. There we go.
Did you just say Tony?
I thought that was his last name.
It's not Montana. It's Well, now
I didn't say Montana. I put a little accent in.
You
there.
Said Tony Montana. It's Tony Montana. Isn't
Montana.
It? You said Montana.
Oh, okay. Well, I was close.
Well, I didn't know what you meant because you totally just went.
It wasn't Tony.
Like how did that enter your mind? How did Al Pacino's character of Tony Montana in Scarface enter your brain in this conversation about the three people I mentioned, Jokic, McKinnon, and McCarr, being the most untradeable sports figures we've ever seen in Colorado? How did we get there? I just want to study this.
I had to think in my mind, okay, like what horrible thing if I was a coach or a GM or something, if I walked into a hotel room of a player who like we couldn't get a hold of, like what situation could conceivably there be happening? Oh, if he had like just coke all over the place. Because I'm betting that's an athlete's drug.
Isn't there a certain really good player that plays on the Avalanche that maybe was involved around that stuff? And then they kind of just said, yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
So that's not even going to work. Like, we'll get you through it, big guy.
He's tradable.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, that wouldn't even do it. Though, I'm telling you, name a player. Because we've already talked about Elway. We could kind of just throw him to the side right now. Is there another player in Rockies, Avalanche, Nuggets, Broncos history that is more untradeable than those three human beings?
If I said Todd Helton, would Tanner agree with me?
That he was untradeable?
Yeah. At some point, we thought Larry Walker was untradeable, but then they traded him in the middle of a game.
They weren't that, but I'm telling you, Mike, is Larry Walker the best to ever do it?
No, but he was very popular.
Is Todd Helton the best to ever do it? Joker's in that conversation. Nathan McKinnon's in that conversation. Kale McCarr's in that conversation.
I wonder how many national media who don't like the Nuggets are looking at the Nuggets suddenly being good and going, maybe Joker's not.
No,
the best.
They're not. It's their 6-3.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, they're looking for an excuse
for
Jokic not being the best, and they've found their excuse.
But they've been awful, awful in his however many years now, every time he's not out on the floor. They just haven't been good.
And now they're like, oh, he's not on the
because
floor,
they
and they're
actually
6-3.
Put
a, they're good with him, they're good without him.
No, they put a plan together that could survive a small stint without their star. That's good management. That's great coaching. That's not relying on one man to save your butt.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying there are some boneheads out there on ESPN 7 who are like, oh, Joker's not the best in the world because
I don't even think that's true. I've not heard that once.
I'm just wondering.
But it's a dumb wonderment. Wash your mouth out and then wash your eyes out. Burn your eyes. I want you to smear soap into your eyes.
This has suddenly gotten violent towards Micah.
I'm sorry. It's the only way you can cleanse that terrible soul. It's the only thing I can think of because I know church isn't going to work. He said, Chris, Micah, throw out Floyd Little as untradeable.
Well, you couldn't. That's true. You couldn't trade him. Couldn't trade the franchise. You might as well trade the entire roster.
But he's not as untradeable as those guys. These are all-timers, not Nuggets all-timers and Avs all-timers. These are in-sport all-timers. And we already talked about the Elway thing. Terrell Davis, was he untradeable?
I mean, he was untradeable, and then he got injured, and no one would trade
but
for him.
But was he really untradeable? Because Mike Shanahan seemed to produce pretty damn good running backs after he retired.
Yeah, they never reached the pinnacle that Terrell Davis did.
No, but it doesn't it hurt his career a little bit that Clinton Portis, Mike Anderson, Alandis Gary, and all those other running backs came in and rocked it?
Yeah, that's one of the arguments I've made against his Hall of Fame induction is does he deserve that because of all those no-name running backs who became 1,000-yarders for one season and then went to the Lions like Alandis Gary did
or disappear.
Became fullback like Mike Anderson did and, you know, withered into nothingness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
You need a hug.
No, it's such a dumb thing. Like, it's not even a joke thing. Even the joke of it is dumb. This player is changing the game. He put the Nuggets actually on the map.
It was just a hypothetical.
But that's not even, it shouldn't even be a thing. And then you bring up Tony Montana. Now I can't say it. I had no idea where you were going.
I seriously thought Montana was the pronunciation of his name.
I'm Tony Montana. Isn't that how he says it? He's Scarface. You couldn't think of Scarface?
I couldn't.
That's one of the most memorable titles.
I've seen the clip where the guy got hung from the helicopter, and I've seen the end where like he just kills a bunch of people with his gun and then dies.
I didn't really love that movie. It didn't really do it for me. It was all right.
It's not on my list, but now I really want to watch it.
It was okay. I just don't know that it was that great.
It could be that people like it because of its reputation, but you know it may not be. It may not. Maybe he had a great performance in it.
Oh yeah,
the movie
he did.
Was okay.
He was great in it. Al Pacino was fantastic.
He's great in anything.
Yeah, Al Pacino is a very versatile actor. Unlike Denzel Washington.
How dare you?
He's the same actor. He's the same character in every movie.
Have you watched any Denzel Washington movie?
Remember
he's
the
different
Titans.
In a lot of different movies.
He is the head coach in every movie I've seen him in. He's just the coach. He's just a different version of him.
That is a worse take than my Jokic should be traded take that I texted you
Denzel
earlier.
Washington, great. Like him. But he's the same character in every movie he's in. There's a lot of guys like that. Like Chris Pratt. Same dude.
I can agree with.
Yeah, that's not different from Denzel Washington.
Chris Pratt plays Chris Pratt.
He's Chris Pratt in every movie. And Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler is.
He was different in...
Waterboy was different.
He was different in Spaceman and then the other drama he was in before that.
Okay, yeah, he's actually getting better, isn't he?
He's a really good actor, which I never thought I'd say. I always thought he'd be like, Waterboy.
Well, most of his movies, he's just Adam Sandler. Like Waterboy, he was not Adam Sandler. But Wedding Singer.
Wedding Singer was good.
But he's just Adam Sandler, a grown-up Adam Sandler. Billy Madison
was a
young version of Adam Sandler. Happy Gilmore was a 2-year older version of Adam Sandler. Click was Adam Sandler married with a magical remote. Big Daddy was Adam Sandler with a kid. Like, it was just Adam Sandler. But that's also Denzel Washington. Same thing, Big Hub.
If you want to watch...
Training Day? Yeah, he's the coach. He's just basically the high school coach, but he's also in Training Day.
American Gangster, Brady. Watch American...
He's just
yourself.
A coach
American
that has
gangster,
a dark side.
He's phenomenal.
He's the Titans coach that had a dark side. But still Denzel Washington.
If you guys want to watch an Adam Sandler movie that is like... Adam Sandler being an incredibly great actor.
Spanglish.
I haven't seen it.
It's pretty good, actually.
Uncut Gems.
I couldn't do it.
Because I was like,
too uncomfortable.
Adam Sandler.
It was too uncomfortable. It was one of those things where everything's going to go wrong very terribly. It made me uneasy.
I was uneasy the entire time,
too. I don't
want
to be uneasy anymore.
It was great, though.
For some reason, Sinners wasn't uneasy for me. It was entertaining. When I started watching Uncut Gems, I'm like, I'm getting freaking stressed out of my mind here. I can't do it.
Okay, which is a worse take? My joking trade Nikola Jokic.
That one.
Or Sinners is not a good movie.
I said Sinners is a good movie.
Tanner doesn't like it.
Well, Tanner doesn't like great cinema. He likes grown-ups and grown-ups too. That's his area that he lives in. Grown-ups and grown-ups too. David Spade, phenomenal actor. another guy that's just David Spade. Sinners was amazing.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I want to watch that
again. Did it win any Golden Globes?
I don't watch the Golden Globes.
Neither do I. I did watch Nikki Glaser's stand-up.
I don't know what that is. What's
a
Nikki Glaser?
Comedian.
I don't know. Dude, I'm telling you, watching Hollywood just go out and do acceptance of speeches and say how great they are and how all these other things are crazy. Hey, there's Kevin Lytle out there, man. Do you think he's seen the movie Sinners?
Lytle, have you seen Sinners?
Have you seen Sinners? You got to see it.
You
got
to see it.
Well, it's got Haley. I'm talking to somebody. That's not, Kevin, come on in. You might as well just come on in. Haley Steinfeld, Josh Allen's wife, is in it. And is it Michael B. Jordan?
Michael B. Jordan plays two characters.
He plays two characters in it. I don't know.
Is phenomenal.
How did we get on this? How did we get on this topic?
I think that's my fault. I think I was criticizing Tanner for his take of not liking that movie. And,
Kevin, in the off season,
you were talking about noted Broncos fan Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah, noted Broncos fan.
Yeah, I'm online. Yeah. I've got it.
This off season, when you have nothing to do,
yeah,
watch Sinners.
Okay,
do kind of remotely scary? It's kind of scary. It's kind of spooky.
Yeah, like I'm vampire. Not a big scary movie guy.
It's not scary.
Well, it's got vampires in it.
It's got vampires in it, but like,
okay, I can handle that type. It's more like the sort of the realistic thriller
like a serial murderer type guy.
Or, you know, like Saw or something like that.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't
see. I'm not doing that.
We were what was it? What's the Adam Sandler one? Uncut Gems?
Yeah.
I was watching it.
Yeah, man.
I was so uneasy watching it because it's one of those where everything just goes horribly wrong, and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, not my jam,
Had
usually.
To stop. Kevin Lytle here.
I'm just crashing the show, I guess.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. We were going to talk about Sinners, apparently, next, but you can make it up.
Yeah.
Just go, you know, Google it real quick. We've got a lot to discuss, though. Colorado State, are they an average basketball team, Kevin? We'll answer that on the other side.
All right.
It's the whole show with Kevin Lytle from the Colorado. Look at that, man. We just bring you in on the fly. We don't have to do a formal introduction.
It's like an audible.
It's an audible here. Hopefully Bo Nix has a few of those in store. We'll be right back.
Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, Eastside Chris, I want to get into that because this is a significant story for Colorado State. Sounds like they're getting tight ends left and right, but this one in particular, very special story. But to answer my last question, Kevin, I feel like maybe my expectations were so high for CSU just because of my respect for Ali Farokmanesh. Are they an average basketball team today?
No, I think they're slightly above average when you look at the total. I mean, they're, 360 or whatever it is. College basketball teams. CSU's top 100, which means you're in the top third or better, a little better than the top third. But they're not great. They're not an NCAA tournament team right now. It's going to be interesting to see how this changes and evolves because, in a lot of ways, they're kind of in the same spot they were this time last year.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying I expect them to do what last year's team did. But yeah, they're struggling. The loss Tuesday was just a flat out. Bad. That's
rough.
Just a bad loss. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts, or sugarcoating, or anything. Bad loss. They're, you know, a little bit above average, but they're not great. And right now, technically, they're kind of on the lower end of the Mountain West. I think in actual reality, they're middle of the pack Mountain West. But they need to improve.
How much of a difference would Kyle Jorgensen make right now? Does he change that from a little bit above average to, oh, well, maybe they could make a run like last year?
Yeah, I mean, he changed a good bit, you know, because a lot of the problems we're seeing on offense, not saying he would fix all of them, but he would help them. Some of the spacing, ball movement, and even just freeing up other guys. You know, if let's say he were playing and playing like he was pre-injury, that's the risk. Is okay, Jorgensen comes back, and you know he's going to be back sooner rather than later. But that doesn't mean he's going to be the guy he was December 15th or whatever. We don't know. That's a long injury absence he's going through. But it'll help, and you know they still haven't – they basically have never played with their ideal rotations because Bimba, the first time he played those two games, it was so brief. I mean, he played 27 total minutes, so basically nothing. And now he's been back a couple games, but obviously Jorgensen's out, so – they just don't have their – they've never had their ideal lineup, so we'll see what that means. But they need to improve.
I mean, it's a significant – those are two significant injuries there because yeah. as much as I like Nikola Joppa, he's not your consistent big man there, no. and you lose both of those guys already with Mimba and tried to come back, and then when Jorgensen went down early – those are significant losses.
Yeah, and there's a trickle-down effect. I mean, Augie Kidulis had to play some games – out of position, and he's a guy that was, you know, I think kind of struggling with adjustment anyway. To his credit, he's improved and is doing some good stuff. You know, there's even the, you know, Josh Pascarelli gets a lot more attention from defenses because they don't have to worry about, you know, Jorgensen being the A option. Now the A option becomes Pascarelli. Try and shut him down. He's slumped pretty significantly in conference play. So there is a series of impacts from these injuries. But you know, Ali Frogmanesh has said this before. No one cares.
Yeah.
Everyone's dealing with stuff. We have to figure it out.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, it was a rough loss to Fresno State. I mean, at one point, Kevin, I think in the first half they made, what, 2 3-pointers?
Yeah, it was weird. So they started fine enough. Games at Fresno are always weird because, one, Fresno's usually pretty physical and tough. And it's a big gym, and no one is there. There's like 36 people in that gym. So it's a weird game always. But CSU started okay. It's kind of slow, but they hit two of their first four three-pointers. Rex Steiner was 2 for 2. He hits a three to put them up 12-10. They're 2 for 4 from three. You're thinking, hey, you know, pretty solid start. And then Fresno goes on like a 7-0 run to kind of, yeah, not that that's huge control. That's 17 or 18-12 at that point. But CSU just kept missing threes. They missed through the rest of the first half. They missed 15 straight until early in the second half. And that's crazy. Because you have a lot of good shooters, but man, rough.
Yeah, what are the odds they're all going to just miss?
Yeah, and it was an interesting mix of, I think a lot of those shots were fine. Like, it's not like they're jacking up super contested threes. But there are also times, and Ali said this after game, of like, yeah, it's not a bad shot, but let's go inside and get a better shot because we have better shots available, but they're kind of meek in doing that and trying to do that. But then they make the big run early in the second half. They turned a 16-point deficit into a tie in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was
super
quick.
Fast.
Yep.
And you're thinking, okay, they've settled in. And then they basically just backslide, let Fresno control the game the rest of the way. So just super weird and, like I say, really disappointing performance.
Big one tomorrow night at Boise State. That'll be on FS1.
Yeah.
So we'll see how they kind of
two
respond.
Desperate teams.
Yeah, very desperate, yeah.
Boise's lost four in a row.
I understand it. It's crazy. And you know, we had one person, I think, tweeting at me after the loss to Fresno that said, hey, they're going to go on a run like they did last year. They just need a player on this roster to step up like Neek did. Kevin, I mean, I like these players. I don't know
them a
whole lot.
If I have $1 million, I'm a millionaire.
They don't have a Neek Clifford. I mean, yeah. Who's the closest thing to Neek Clifford on this team?
There isn't.
There's nothing
close. And that's not a knock on anyone. Everyone knows. There's not Neek Clifford.
The guy was a first-round draft pick.
Yeah. yeah.
There's just so.
Now, that doesn't mean this team can't go on a run.
But they don't have that one guy that can
but
just
yeah,
like, get on
I
my
think
back.
We're seeing that a little bit right now of like, okay, when things are tough, who kind of grabs the game by the horns and, you know, writes everything? Because, yeah, there's not Neek Clifford on this team. And everyone knew there wouldn't be Neek Clifford on this team. That doesn't mean they can't be quite good. I think this team can make a run, but it's not going to be because Neek Clifford comes in and has 36 points at Boise State or whatever.
I had tweeted something after the Fresno State game because I was kind of the mindset, maybe let's just call it what it is. This feels like more or less an average team. And you're saying slightly above either way. But I guess there's nothing wrong with that because it's Ali Frogmanesh's rookie year as head coach. I think my expectations were probably a little crazy. I didn't necessarily think they'd be a March Madness team. I just thought maybe they'd start out pretty hot in the Mountain West Conference. And, yeah, here we are kind of up and down.
Yeah, I think speaks to several things. One, just how much the standard has risen at Colorado State.
Yeah, true.
I mean, a decade ago, you know, kind of post Miles, you know, Stacy rode way up and down. But to be a guaranteed top 100 team every year wasn't what CSU was. Now, they're a top 100 team barely. And it kind of feels like the sky is falling to some folks. So that shows how the sky has, the floor has risen. Now, I think it's also fair to be disappointed because, I mean, Ali has said it, everyone has said, you know, we're not coming here to not win. But I think it is also naive to think everything would be smooth with a first-year coach, 8 new players, and then you throw in, like, say, okay, let's start Mountain West, play well if you're CSU. Well, the first Mountain West game, your best player gets hurt 3-4 minutes, whatever it was, in while you're already getting steamrolled by Utah State. That's a hard way to start Mountain West play. Again, yell at me, say it's an excuse or whatever, but most teams that lose their best player in the first game of conference play, they're probably not going to start conference play very well.
Yeah, no, great point. 39 minutes after the hour. All right, let's switch over to football coming up next. The Rams get a very big get, a very interesting get out of Georgia, and we'll talk about that coming up next. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, Kevin. I have a hard time tracking. I'm trying to follow you as much as I can in the Colorado, but the state of the transfer portal is just absolutely crazy to me, so I'll wait and read your final assessment. I mean, I've been following them, but I'm going to wait and get that final assessment and roster because it's just crazy to follow. But you can't ignore this one. Big get for CSU. Got a tight end out of Georgia and a very interesting story and makes, you know, you outline kind of why it was possible in the first place that the Rams were able to get this guy.
Yes. Yeah, just probably will be one of the more fascinating stories, certainly at CSU, maybe in college football. So the backstory, Pierce Sperling is the kid's name. Coming out of high school, I believe he's from the Florida area. He was like a top prospect. I believe 24/7 had him as the number 2 tight end in the nation in his class, and like a top 75 or 80 player overall. So like this is elite level prospect. He came in kind of toward the end of the Brock Bowers era as basically like the next Brock Bowers. So, you know, Georgia obviously has a great history of tight ends. Obviously, Bowers was one of the best of the best. He played a little bit as a freshman, 2023, had a couple big plays. I believe, I need to go backwards, but Bowers was still there. So Bowers was running things. But I guess he had found in high school that he had a heart condition that basically they had to monitor. And sometime after his freshman year, went, you know, for a checkup, and obviously I'm not medically inclined enough to know the exact details, but basically the doctor said, like, you can't play. This has the stress signals and whatever that we're looking for are at a point where it's too dangerous for you to play football because of this. So he had to medically retire. So he stayed with Georgia. He's been on Georgia football team for the last 2 seasons, but as a non-player, basically a medically retired football player. So he's there and on scholarship, but not playing because of this heart condition. But then again, I can't get into the medical details because I'm not smart enough, but they find a way to fix it. He has open heart surgery. It sounds like incredibly intensive surgery, very long recovery, and he's cleared to resume full normal, whatever he wants to do, life activities. And then to make it even weirder, there's basically within the NCAA rules, if you medically retire at a program, you can't go back and play at that program. So he can't play at Georgia. So he has to enter the transfer portal. Who was one of the tight end coaches when he was playing back in 23? Price Tracy, who is now CSU's offensive coordinator. Obviously, we know
that
Georgia's OC is Mike Bobo. So Tracy worked for Bobo. So obviously, Pierce has been, you know, around Bobo. I would have to assume, I don't know this for a fact, but I have to assume Price and Mike Bobo have talked. Obviously, Price and Pierce have a relationship. Pierce transfers to CSU. Obviously, we'll see. Most importantly, you hope and, you know, presumably his health will be just fine. But if he can get back to that prospect he was, that's big time.
Well,
he's 6'7", 2, whatever it is. he looks like a Georgia tight end.
So is the health reason, like, I'm just going to ask it, why CSU overall? I mean, again, you outline all the background stuff. So if this guy's as good, you know.
Well, again, I don't want to speak for everyone, but you could see how some of the perhaps bigger teams would say, you know, we're not sure.
Not worth it, maybe.
And we can get other guys that, you know, maybe we know a little bit more for certain what they're going to produce. Because so there's the heart condition. Then even throwing the fact that means he hasn't played football in 2 years. And that one, that the last year he played, he didn't play a lot because he was a freshman. So it's really been 3 years since he's played a lot. So it's not guaranteed, even throw the health stuff out, it's not guaranteed that he is the player that he was thought to be in high school. So I think that's how you could see some, you know, the top level programs be like, we're interested, but we're not sure. And hey, let's be real. If he comes to CSU this year, has 110 catches for 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns, they'll come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a relationship with Tracy, you would have to imagine, probably has an impact. And like I say, perhaps the Mike Bobo role. And for his side, kind of the opposite of the uncertainty from high P4s, from his side, he probably looks and says, well, this is a place where I feel like I have a pretty good chance to see the field. Now, CSU has signed 900 tight ends, yeah, so there's some competition there. But you can see from his side why it's like, I have some familiarity with the coach and, you know, with the offensive coordinator. And a place where I can probably see the field. So there it is.
Yeah,
it's gonna be super fascinating.
Yeah.
Obviously, first and foremost, you hope that he's just healthy, and whether he's great at football or not, he's able to, you know, live a happy, healthy life. But man, if he can get back to the prospect he was, like, what a story.
Yeah, no, I love that. Well done by you. Fascinating story there. 49 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break here on the and on the other side, we'll get to what did we learn. And then Rams Weekly coming up at 2. So we'll get into all things Colorado State, the state of college sports, where we sit today, all that and more. Coming up on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear the A1 Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn today? Kevin, what did you learn today? Man, I learned from you that the Rams got a really unique tight end situation going on.
Well, that's kind of what I learned, too, but I guess I can't use that one.
Can't use that now. I already used it.
I learned that the CSU football coaching staff is on a Colorado recruiting blitz right now. Their coaches are all over. I believe they're going over the next, like, 24 hours to 50-some different schools.
So you mean they are going to kind of recruit the state of Colorado?
Well, at least from the start.
Okay. Well, I like it. Yeah. Michael, what'd you learn today? Anything? Nothing?
I learned that I need to start using trigger warnings when giving hypotheticals.
Even Kevin thought that was the dumbest thing you've ever said. And you say a lot of dumb things. It's not. It's so untrue that it's not even a hypothetical. You can't even do it.
It's a hypothetical. Hypothetically, if aliens come down to Earth.
That's more likely than trading Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, 100%.
Like an alien walking into the
studio.
They
might be coming down to watch Nikola Jokic.
Nikola Jokic
might be an alien.
That's also true. Yeah, maybe. All right, Rams Weekly coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.